Amen. Wow. Thank you so much, men, for using your talents, not burying them by any means, to bring glory and honor to the name of our Father, to spread the message of Jesus, and to bring and keep joy in the worship that we have to our Heavenly Father. I'm so thankful you're here, church. I'm so thankful we have this opportunity today to gather. And before we get into what we're going to talk about today, I have good news. I love starting sermons with good news. This past Sunday, a married couple that I've gotten to know very well, and that many of you have gotten to know very well, they decided that it was time to quit being visitors here at Azalea City, and that they were ready to place their membership with us here, to identify with us as members of the Azalea City Church. And I am so thankful to know and love Quentin and Inyata Scott. I'm going to ask Quentin and Inyata to stand up and welcome, they didn't know I was going to do this, did you? Welcome them to the Azalea City Church of Christ. They also have a baby girl that's coming in February, right? But I've got some other news to go along with that. Quentin, who grew up in the church, met Ninyata, and Ninyata, who believed that, you know, she was in a right relationship after studying with Quentin, she decided, hey, you know what? I need to be baptized. And so last Sunday, not only did we get their membership from them telling us, but Ninyata was added to the church by our Lord as we baptized her into Jesus Christ. What a blessing. What a blessing. And I do believe it is the first time I've ever baptized somebody who was pregnant. So that was awesome too. What a great moment. Hey, singing is more. Listen, I love preaching. I love it. I believe God put this on my heart to do it. I really do. So it kind of pains me to say this a little bit. Singing is more than just the warm-up before the sermon. Singing is not filler. But I believe if we're honest with ourselves, we look at that sometimes as that's what it is. I know we understand, oh, we're singing praises and all that, but sometimes our actions might not reflect that. You know, one of my biggest struggles in life is that people think I'm not, when they look at me, they can't see Jesus. That's a fear of mine. So I try to walk around with a smile on my face. I try to walk around, you know, as you said earlier, hopefully people can see that Spirit of Jesus living in me, the Spirit of God living in me. But I get concerned about that. You know, but in the worship service, as we're looking around at each other, we shouldn't wonder that about each other. But sometimes our faces reflect it. You know, singing is not filler, it's fuel. In fact, some lyrics, and by the way, you won't find these lyrics in Songs of Faith and Praise. Give me fuel, give me fire. Give me that which I desire. Now, I know Metallica didn't write that for us to sing and worship. But I will say this. I believe that's exactly what God would say to us. Give me fuel. Give me fire. Give me that which I desire. God wants our voices. He wants our minds. He wants our hearts. He wants our breath. He wants our all. And when we come together to worship God, that's what He deserves. There's something very powerful that happens when God, His people, us as the church, when we lift our voices in unison together, is something special happens. And listen, if you weren't here for Bible class, go back and live stream it. Go back and watch it on our YouTube page. Dr. Allen did a great job of letting us know how, as a doctor, as a medical doctor, okay, seeing how singing together, singing hymns together, it lights up parts of our brain that they can't explain. How it makes our hearts all go up, down, and get in unison together. You see, there's something powerful that happens when God's people lift their voices in praise to Him. You see, it's not about how good we sound. I will say you have sounded very good. But that's not the important part, right? It's about how great God is. That's what it's about. 2 Chronicles 20. King Jehoshaphat. You probably didn't think Terry was going to talk about singing and talk about King Jehoshaphat. So I'm hoping you're going to learn something or remember something today that maybe you forgot that's very powerful about this story. It's found in 2 Chronicles 20. And we're going to get to there. I've got the slides, brother. In 2 Chronicles 20, King Jehoshaphat and the tribe of Judah, they were surrounded by enemies. They were outnumbered. They were afraid. They were overwhelmed. So I want you to listen to a summary before we get into the meat of this sermon of 1 Chronicles chapter 20. The first thing you're going to see there, I say I do, is this not on? Okay, here we go. Maybe. Yeah. There's a threat against Judah. In verses 1 through 4, that's where the threat comes in. Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat now, king of God's people, he learns that a vast army, that's the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Meunites, a lot of ites there, right? All these ites, they're coming to attack the nation of Judah. King Jehoshaphat is their king. What are we going to do? You know what? He does something that every leader, from elder to minister to youth minister to Bible teacher to leader of the household to leader of the community to leader of the group that you've got with the girls down the street, whatever it may be, everybody in this room is a leader. Every one of us need to take note from Jehoshaphat here. Instead of panicking when all these ites surround him, instead of panicking, he seeks the Lord. Man, that's great advice. So what he does is he calls for a nationwide fast. And he gathers all the people up to pray. What great leadership, right? The people unite. They come together. They're seeking God's help. It's a picture, a beautiful picture of humility and dependence on the Almighty. But then also in the next part of this, Jehoshaphat has a prayer. The king publicly in the temple court acknowledges the Almighty. Here's what he acknowledges. Number one, he acknowledges in this prayer, and by the way, it's one of the most beautiful prayers in all the Bible. He acknowledges God's sovereignty. He says there, "You rule over all the kingdoms." He acknowledges God's past faithfulness. Did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land? God, you've already done this. We know that you can do it. We know that you have the power to do this. And then he acknowledges in this prayer God's covenant. You gave it to the descendants of Abraham, as Taylor said, your friend. In this prayer, he also confesses Judah's helplessness. His humility is shown. He says, we do not know what to do, but get this, but our eyes are on you. To me, this becomes one of the greatest prayers of trust in all the Scriptures. But then thirdly, in this summary, God has a response. That response comes through Jehaziel. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon Jehaziel, who's a Levite. He's part of the priestly tribe. His message is this, do not be afraid. This is from God now. Do not be afraid or dismissed, for the battle is not yours. but God's. Judah is then told, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. So what do the people do? When they hear that, they bow in worship. And you know what the Levites do? The priestly tribe, they stand. And you know what they do? Praise the Lord with loud voices. Then, this is where this story gets really cool. In verses 20 through 22, here's their battle plan. Early the next morning, Jehoshaphat, he reminds the people. Now remember, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Meunites, they've all gathered around, right? They're coming to kill them. They're coming to conquer them. And so, he has now rallied the people. The Levites have rallied the people. They're standing out there and they're praising the Lord with loud voices. Early the next morning, Jehoshaphat then reminds them, believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. But here's the very, very cool part to me. Instead of leading with soldiers, think about that. I'm going to battle. And the first people on the front line, I want to be the baddest of the bad. I want them to be able to work. I want them to be able to swing as if their lives and their nation's lives depend on it. You that have served in our nation's military, you understand that very well. You signed up to serve our country and to protect freedoms and fight for freedoms. That's exactly what they were doing. But instead of sending soldiers out front, he appointed singers to go ahead of the army. You know what their song was? 1 Chronicles chapter 20, it reminds us, here was their song, give thanks to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever. What a battle plan. Instead of saying, soldiers, you go out and fight, he figures out, and he gets them, and they're out there singing, the to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever. And in that, He was reminding them who is in control. By the way, where did they get that song? They got it from King David. It was the same song he sang in the song of thanksgiving that he gave in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34. The same song King David sang in thanksgiving to God is the same song they were singing as they went out into this battle. What happened? That sounds great, right? You're preaching a sermon about the importance of singing. But what happens? It would be terrible if the ites wiped them all out, right? As they sang, the Lord set ambushes. And He did it against the enemies. The enemies ended up turning on each other and they destroyed themselves. When Judah arrived, the nation of Judah comes along. Here we are, we're ready. The enemy armies were already dead. In fact, here's what they did instead. They spent 3 days collecting the spoils. All the gold, all the goods, all the treasures. On the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing. And guess what they did? Praised the Lord. What began as a battle, a valley of battle, became a valley of blessing. So how does that become applicable to us? I'm glad you asked. Number one, we need to remember there's always going to be a crisis. And sometimes that crisis will become before the chorus. In verses 1 through 4 of 1 Chronicles 20, again, Jehoshaphat gets this word, right? Hey, the people are coming against you. It's not a small multitude. It's not a little multitude. It's a great multitude. And they're coming to fight you. They're coming to conquer you. Again, he could have panicked, but instead, verse 3 reminds us, he set his face to seek the Lord. That is as everything we do in life, we got to put God first. Again, it's a verse we referenced at the very end of class and prayer request this morning, but it's song, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All these things shall be added unto you. Do we believe that or do we not? Do we truly believe if we put God first, all the food, the clothing, the shelter, all the necessities of life, that's what He's talking about right there in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, food, clothing, shelter, all those things will be added unto us. Now, He didn't say it'd be filet mignon. He didn't say it'd be 10,000 square foot mansions. He didn't say it'd be Armani suits. But He did promise us we'd have the necessities of life if we put Him first. Do we believe that? Jehoshaphat did. Instead of panicking in times of crisis, why don't we set our face to seek the Lord? Instead of running from God, and that's, if you look at the studies of it, when people leave the church, you know what happens? Crisis comes usually. Sometimes they get their feelings hurt. Sometimes, you know, feel like people don't care about them, whatever. All those things that go into that. But a lot of times it's because things got tough. They didn't feel like God was helping, so they just quit Him. That is bad, bad advice and bad things to do. When crisis comes, let's don't run to God, let's sing to God. Jehoshaphat prayed in this crisis, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on You. You see, that's worship before the music ever starts. How do you get ready for worship? Don't answer that out loud. What if? What if before we came to Bible class, on Sunday mornings, we turned the news off and we turned God on? What if we got in the vehicle and instead of listening to a secular podcast or some secular channel or Taylor Swift or Blake Shelton, I don't know who's popular in music anymore, any of these people, before we did all that, what if we put praise on? That's worship before actual worship. That's preparing our minds. That's preparing our hearts. That's preparing our souls to lay it on the line for the One who deserves it all. Before the crisis ever came, Jehoshaphat was singing the chorus. He was saying, God, I don't have the strength, but I trust You. When you face life's battles, and let's be real, we all will face life's battles. Maybe your marriage is strained. Maybe your finances are tight. Maybe your faith feels weak. Let's turn our eyes towards the Lord. Before we can truly sing the victory, we've got to seek the One who gives it. There's also in this a lesson for us to learn because they're called to worship. In verses 14 through 19, read it real quick. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jeiel, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, say that 10 times fast, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, do not be dismissed at this great horde, for the battle's not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not see need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position. See the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismissed. Tomorrow go out against them and the Lord will be with you. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head and with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, the Kohathites, and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel and he told them, do not be afraid, the battle is not yours, but it's God's. So the Levites, as we said earlier, they stood up and they praised God, not quietly. They praised Him with a loud voice. You see, before the enemy was defeated, now remember, the enemy's not dead. In fact, they're still coming. There's a horde coming, it says. There's a multitude coming. And they're all coming towards Judah. And they're all coming towards King Jehoshaphat and this army. And they've got all these nations combined and they're coming to them. They didn't see anybody dead, but they heard the word of the Lord and they believed it. And before anybody was dead, they were singing praises very loudly to God. Because He had already given them the victory. It's like seeing victory in Jesus before the scoreboard shows the win. You see, that's not denial, it's faith. When fear surrounds you, when fear surrounds me, sing anyway. I talked last week about having a song on your heart. Paul and Silas in the very middle of prison, the inner prison, the place where the worst of the worst would be. They were guilty for teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. They were locked up. They were chained up. They had a jailer set to them. They were in maximum security. They had been beaten with rods. Their bodies were beaten, bloodied, and battered. But in the middle of the fear, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the rain, they were singing anyway. Fear and faith cannot occupy the same heart. Today, if you've got fear, you need to re-examine your faith. Today, if you've got faith, there's nothing to fear. Remember, don't fear the one who can kill the physical body. God is the only one to fear. Not in an I'm terrified way, but in an awe kind of way. Our respect, our awe, our faith must belong to Him. There is a call to worship in this passage. There is a call to worship in this church. There is a call to worship in our communities. There is a call to worship in our nation. There is a call to worship in this world. Now, people are all worshiping something. Even the atheist has something lording over them, because that's the way we were designed. But those of us who are giving our hearts and our alls to God in song, in scripture, in prayer, in worship, what is there to fear? Then there was the choir in the battle. Verses 20 through 24, they rose early in the morning, went out into the wilderness of Tekoa, and when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe His prophets, you will succeed." And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise Him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever." And when they began to sing and praise the Lord, set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. When Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked toward the horde, and behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. None had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found among them in great numbers goods, clothing, and precious things, which they took for themselves, until they could carry no more. They were 3 days in taking the spoil. It was so much. The next morning, again, we said it earlier, Jehoshaphat sent the singers, not the soldiers. He set the choir, if you will, in front of the army. You see, that's not strategy. That's surrender. Not surrender to the enemy, but surrender to the Almighty. They sang together, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever." Do you think they believed that? I know they did. We see it take place. Sometimes we sing all these songs. And today, I know I heard people singing out. It was very impactful. But my question is, do we really believe what we're singing? Do we really believe the things we're singing? Do we really believe the things that God has promised us in His book? Are we living like it? As they sang again, "The Lord set ambushes against the enemies." Their song became their sword. When the church sings today, God still moves. When the church sings today, chains still break. When the church sings today, hearts still open. And when the church sings today, lives still change. In Acts 16, as I said last week, when it came to the jailer, the chains were broken. They were set free. But they didn't go. I believe they didn't go because they thought, hey, we got a chance with this jailer. We got a chance with all these others who are around us. When the jailer was going to take his own life, he knew that they were going to take his life anyway. I may as well go ahead and get it over with. He draws his sword. He's going to take his own life because he figures everybody's gone. They said, hold up, we're all here. Now, when it came down to it and Paul and Silas go with the jailer and they go back to his house and they baptize the whole crew, I didn't read in there that he preached a 3-point sermon with an introduction and a conclusion, and they sang an invitation song. Listen, Paul may have explained things to him and Luke just didn't record it, but here's the way I believe it happened. They didn't have to. Because the jailer had been watching. He'd been observing. He watched those men get beat with rods. And he watched when they came together and they were locked up and they were chained up. They didn't cry, "Pitiful me." They didn't cry, "Kill them all." They didn't cry for escape. They sang praise to God. And because they sang praise to God, that jailer, he said, "There's something different about these guys. And I want what they have." Do other people want what we have? Listen, I can look on Facebook and see that some people do that. You know, oh, they went on Disney. I'm going to go on Disney. They got a new car. I'm going to get a new car. You know, it's all about this compare. But that's not what I'm talking about. Right now, the joy that's in your heart, the Jesus that's in your heart, would you want other people to have it? If the answer to that is no, then what are we doing? We got to change it. Worship isn't about what we do when we feel victorious. It's how we fight until we are. But here's the beauty of it all. They didn't quit singing. They sang before they went out. The Levites got up and they, loud voices, they praised God. They sent singers out. The battle was already won. And then we get down to verse 25 and 26 and we see the celebration. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found among them in great numbers goods, clothing, precious things they took for themselves. Again, we talked about that. Here's this. Look down at the end. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Beruca. Now that's significant, the Valley of Beruca. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of this place has been called the Valley of Blessing to this day. the Valley of Baruka. I imagine, you know, when you're on one hill and you're on this hill and you kind of come down and there's the battle line, right? And we're going to fight in this pit, if you will, this valley, if you will. And this bloody battle is going to be fought to death. And as long as it's known as a battle, there's fear. But on that day, God changed it from battle to blessing. And instead of going down in the valley to fight, they went down in the valley to praise. And it changed the whole outlook of what that place represented. No longer was it a bloody battlefield. Now it's a place that we sing praise to God. You see, when you choose to praise, God can turn your battlefield into a blessing field. When the church celebrates in song, it reminds us who our true captain is and that the victory belongs to the Lord. Don't wait until the storm passes. Start praising God in the rain. If we're praising Him in the rain, we're going to celebrate when the storm does pass. Because the more we praise, the more we show God's power. Sorry, I didn't mean to go to the song, but in conclusion here. Worship isn't about talent. It's about trust. It's not about volume. It's about faith. It's not about performance. It's about presence. When we sing, heaven hears. When the church lifts its voice, God lifts His hand. So let's be a people who don't just sing songs, let's be a people who live them. Let's come together as one body, as one voice, as one heart, as one breath, and declare, give thanks to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever. Do people want what you have? Do people desire what's living in you? The answer to that question is, I'm not sure, or no. We need to change it. We need to have a song on our heart. We need to live our lives in worship to God. That's why we're here. In just a moment, we're going to be led in an invitation song. That song will invite you to walk this aisle. Confess sin, or confess Jesus. Maybe you don't have the courage to walk this aisle to be baptized today, but you want to study more. Maybe you didn't walk this aisle today because you have a public sin, but you need to repent right there in your seat. Whatever it is, let's not quit singing. Don't let the world muzzle you. Let's sing His praises. And if you have a need, won't you come right now so together we stand and sing.